Please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 13. Psalm 13. Our theme this morning is trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord forever. And that's something that is not only on our calendars for this month, but it's something that the boys and girls, particularly in Rock on Friday, were being taught. And it's a valuable and it's an immense truth that we need to, in all things, trust in the Lord. And I've come to this little psalm this morning. It helps us to understand that God wants us, this is helpful for the boys and girls as well, God wants us to trust him not just when the lights are on, but he wants us to trust him when the lights are off. In other words, he wants us to trust him not just when it's light, but also when it's dark. I don't know about you, but certainly when I was a little boy, going to bed was an interesting experience because I'd say to my mum, "Mum, will you leave a light on?" Have you ever done that? Perhaps some of you are still doing it, okay? When I was a little boy, I used to say, "Mum, will you leave a light on?" Because the light brought comfort to me. And perhaps as a young child, I was afraid of the dark. But the light, seeing the glow of the light, was comforting. But as I started to grow and to get a bit older, I'd say, "Mum, don't forget to leave the light on." "Oh, no, no. The light's going off." "Well, can you leave the landing light on? With the door open ajar?" "Yeah, sure." So we'd go through. So a little lamp in the corner of the bedroom. Now we progress to the light in the bedroom off. The bedroom door being left open ajar with the landing light on. And then we progress to the landing light goes off, but the bathroom light goes on with the door almost closed. And then we progress to the lights are off, it's dark, and the bedroom door is closed. And as I grew, and as I was reassured by my mother and my father that it was okay, that my mum and dad were still there, even though I couldn't see them. They were still there and near to me, even though I was surrounded with darkness. And I think this psalm teaches us that we can trust in God, even though we can't see him. We can trust in God, if you like, when in our lives he has turned the light off. That we go through times like David went through, times of sadness. I'm sure children, mums and dads, I'm sure there are times when you feel that you felt sad. And there are times when perhaps you've felt disappointed or you've experienced disappointment. And so this little psalm will help us to learn the valuable lesson that we can trust in God always. And he wants us to trust in him forever. Because that's what our text and that's what his word teaches us. Now we've got three little thoughts this morning. And as there are six verses in Psalm 13, so we're going to, our first thought is found in verses 1 and 2. Our second thought is found in verses 3 and 4. And our third little thought is found in verses 5 and 6. And we have David's condition, David's cry, and David's comfort. Or, why don't you put your name in those points? So if I can say Andrew's condition, Andrew's cry, and Andrew's comfort, or put your own name in there. Let's look at David's condition, verses 1 and 2. There's a question here. And the question is, how long? I wonder, particularly as children or young people, have we ever asked that question? How long? You're going on a trip. You're going on a mystery tour. You're going out with a family for the day. And how long is it going to take? How long before we get there? How long? How long? Well, David's asking the question, how long, look in verse 1, how long will you forget me? In other words, will you, Lord, forget me forever? He feels forgotten about. How long? He feels left out. Or a bigger word, we can say he feels forgotten, he feels forsaken. I wonder, in school sometimes, we can feel left out, can't we? Maybe we've changed class or we've changed school and we don't really know many of the children. And we stand in the corner of the playground or we stand in the corner of the classroom waiting for someone to invite us to be a part of the class, to be a part of the gang, to be a part of what's happening in the school. And we feel perhaps left out and forgotten. Again, when I was a little boy, we used to go down to the local park and have a game of footy. And you take your sweaters off or your jumpers off and then you use them as goalposts. And then we'd count how many people, how many we've got here? Oh, we've got 10 people. All right. And we weren't very bright and we weren't very good at maths. We'd say, 10 people. And let's think. Two teams of five, you see. And then you can be a captain, you can be a captain, you see. And then, right, you have first pick. And I'll pick so-and-so, see. And then maybe you're the one who's left at the end and you feel forgotten about. And you feel perhaps left out. David is saying to the Lord, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? Then he says again, how long will you hide your face from me? Look at verse 2. How long must I have sorrow in my heart? Must I have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy mock or laugh over me? How long? It's a question, isn't it? And we're not told the circumstances that David, the psalmist, finds himself in. Often when we come to a psalm like this, we can say, ah, yes. And we can, by careful deduction, we can actually place it into some historical context. We have no idea the circumstances. But what we do know is he feels forgotten. He feels forsaken. He feels left out. How long will you forget me? How long will you forsake me? How long will you hide your face from me? How long will my enemy gloat over me? And it's interesting, isn't it, that so often, particularly when we're in the darkness, particularly when we're feeling sorry and low and down and left out, that we think that actually God is no longer there. We think he in some way has forgotten us. And actually, if you think like that, then you're thinking in a very similar way to the children of Israel. Because we read this, Zion said, the Lord has forgotten us. We've been swept into exile. We've been taken away from the land that he promised us. That no longer can we know him and worship him as we once did. Zion says, the Lord has forgotten us. Listen to the response from God. He says, can a mother forget the baby that she fed on her breast? Can a mother forget her child? See, I have engraved your name in the palm of my hand. Imagine that. So David's here, feeling sorry, feeling alone, forgotten, forsaken, left out. We don't know the circumstances, but it's as though he's been plunged into the darkness. And he feels that God has forgotten and left him. But God says, your names are engraved in the palms of my hand. It's a metaphor. In other words, he will never forget his children. He will never forget those who trust in the Lord. He will never forget those who trust in the Lord forever. So that's his condition. He's feeling alone, he's feeling sorry, he's feeling forgotten, forsaken, feeling left out. And yet God reminds David, and he reminds us, that if we have trusted in him and in his precious son, then we are precious to him and we'll always be his children. That's the condition. Look at verses 3 and 4. Look at David's cry. Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. What's the prayer? Consider me, O Lord. Remember me, O Lord. That's the cry. That's the prayer. Remember me. Hear me. Consider me. Don't forget me. When darkness veils your lovely face, I trust in your unchanging grace. Can't see him, but he tells me, he reassures me that he is the everlasting God. He is a God who has engraved our names in the palm of his hand, and he will never, ever turn his back on you or me. His cry, consider me, O Lord my God. Why do you think this great God, this God who has created all things, why do you think he should consider you or he should consider me? I'll tell you why. Because he loves you. He loves you so much that he gave King Jesus for people like you and me. And Jesus is the king. He is ruler over everything. You know, he commanded the fishermen, hey, come, follow me. And they did. And they did. He commanded on another occasion evil spirits to come out of people. And they did. And they did. Because he is the king. He is the ruler over everything. And he calls us to trust in him forever. He loves you. You might say, well, how do I know that God loves me? Ah, he's given us something which is wonderful. He's given us his son. And as we turn to scripture, as we turn to the Bible, we see who Jesus is. And Jesus is God in flesh. Jesus came, God the Son, he came to die for us. He came to die for sinners. He came to die for our sin. And he bore the punishment for our sin in his body on the tree. And so God's care for his children is like the sun that shines in the sky. It's constant. The sun is always there. And even though the clouds obscure the sun is still there. And even if trouble in school, trouble in college, trouble at home, trouble with an older brother or sister, even if all those things are true and happen to us, and often they do, Jesus is always there. You see, the bully in school, and sadly there are some bullies in school, the bully in school mustn't allow you to think that God has forgotten you. God is always there. Just as the clouds sometimes obscure the sun, it doesn't mean the sun isn't there. Even though we may feel alone, even though we may feel forgotten, even though we may feel left out, God is still there. That's why he says, trust in me always. Trust in me forever. And then our third thought is found in verses 5 and 6. And this is comfort. This is David's comfort. Now, there's nothing in the psalm thus far to suggest that his circumstances have changed. There's nothing there to suggest that his circumstances have changed. So what has changed? I tell you what's changed was the fact that he cried out to God. That he prayed. And often we can feel forgotten. We can feel forsaken. We can feel alone. We can feel left out. Oh, what peace. The grown-ups sing this. Oh, what peace. We often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Do you see that? And so what's changed here? That God has not only heard David's prayer, he brings comfort. Something changes within David's heart. Something within his soul. His circumstances haven't changed. But what has changed? He's cried to God. And now he says, but I have trusted. I have. Past tense. I have trusted in your steadfast love. Or I've trusted in your faithful love. What a faithful God have I. But then look at the tense. It changes from the past to the present. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. In other words, David could say, but I know that you're the God who is my salvation. You are the God who has saved me. And then the future tense, I will sing. So we've got trusting, rejoicing, and singing. Trusting in the darkness, because God says, I am there. Trust in the Lord forever. Rejoicing that he hears our cry. Lord, help me. Lord, comfort me. Lord, save me. Lord, draw near to me. Lord, help me to know more of you. And that's the same for children as it is for adults. Isn't it an amazing thing? That this Almighty God is not just interested in old people. He's interested in children. When Jesus, God the Son, walked on this earth, he said, let the children come to me. And there were those, some of Jesus' disciples, said to the parents, "Oh, don't bother the master. Don't bother Jesus when bringing your kids." "Oh," says Jesus, "you bring them to me." Because children are as important to Jesus as grown-ups. And if you're sat at home and you normally come to Rock, Jesus is as important, or you are as important to Jesus as anyone else. Isn't that amazing? Jesus loves the little children. Oh, the children of the world loves you. And even though we can't see him, and even though we feel afraid, and even though we feel alone, he is there. And not even the troubles of a brother or a sister or a mum or a dad or a bully in school or an unhelpful teacher. None of these things can obscure this truth that God is always there. He's always near. Trust in the Lord always. Trusting. Rejoicing. Isn't it great that you can rejoice? David was rejoicing. My heart. Well, that's what's changed. The reality is that his heart has been changed. His heart is rejoicing in the God of his salvation. His circumstances, as far as we can see in this psalm, hasn't changed. But what has changed? God has heard his cry and has brought comfort to his heart. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. New every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. I have trusted in the Lord. I've trusted in his steadfast love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord. Now, unfortunately, we can't sing at the moment. You can sing at home. You can sing outside. And hopefully, God willing, it won't be too long before we can sing here in chapel, in church. But I've never tried singing when you're sad. It's hard. Have you ever tried praying when you're sad? That's difficult as well. And so what we see here is that God enables David and enables us that even though we may feel sad and left out and alone, he, by his goodness and by his grace, and that means it's his favour to us that we don't deserve, and his mercy, because of who God is, he enables us to not only cry, but he enables us to rejoice, and he enables us to sing. And so David could say, along with Isaiah the prophet, and along with all men and women and boys and girls down through the years who have come to understand that we can trust in the Lord forever, we can say this, and sometimes we sometimes sing it. He gave me beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I wonder this morning, is the description of David's condition, is that something that you can identify with? That's how you feel. But we mustn't allow our feelings to dictate or govern what really is true. We may feel alone, we may feel far from God, but the reality is that God is near. And that's why the Bible is so important. Because the Bible is what teaches us and grounds us. You see, if you were to go, and I know that Joanna did this when she taught the song and the memory text on Friday. If you were to turn to Isaiah and 26 and verse 4, the verse is more than what we've just been quoting, trust in the Lord forever. It goes on to say, same verse, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. In other words, that he can be that solid ground and that firm foundation. He can be the strong one in our lives. He can hold us and keep us, and we can be safe with him and secure forever. And so some years ago, we were doing indoor camping. That's cheating, really, isn't it? Indoor camping in Bryn Groes, in Bala, North Wales. And I remember being tucked up in bed one night, bottom bunk, and I could hear the rain beating against the bedroom window. I could hear the wind blowing the trees. And I said to my friend Phil, "Phil, I'm so glad that we're indoor camping and we're not doing proper camping under canvas in a tent with all the rain and the winds and the storms." And in the morning, we heard the news that there were some friends of ours in Barmouth, and they were proper camping. And their tents in the storm were blown away. So we rang them and said, "Come over to Bala. Come and enjoy the warmth here in Bryn Groes." And they came over. Big camp came over. And we dried their clothes and we gave them food. And things were going so well. And they were telling us the story of how their things got washed away in the storm. And the tent, because the tents weren't secure on firm ground, were they? Blown away. And things were going so well. Until one of the boys from the outdoor camp said to one of the boys on the indoor camps, "See, you lot are a bunch of softies. Because we're the real campers. You pretend to camp, but we don't just pretend, we do it." Oh, boys will be boys. So quickly, there was a competition and a challenge that they'd have a game of rugby on the top field. And I said to my mate Phil, I said, "This is not looking good, Phil." He said, "And they're only 10 and 12 years of age. And these friends from the outdoor camp, they were 13 and 14. I said, "Our boys would get clobbered." So my friend Phil said, "We must go with them. We can't abandon them. We go with them." I said, "Speak for yourself." I could see these boys. They said they were 13 and 14. They looked like 17, 18 to me. And they were fit boys. They were solid boys. And I remember saying, "Phil, we're in trouble here. We're in trouble here." Now, why am I telling you this story? Because, you know, whether we're indoor camping or outdoor camping, the whole point of those camps was to come to know and trust in the Lord forever. And we're all different. Different personalities, different likes and dislikes. We're all different, but we all need to know the Lord. And we all need to know the secret of trusting in the Lord forever. And so we need someone. So when the difficulties of life, when the storms of life come, we need someone that we can trust. Someone who has taken the tents of our lives and has pegged them into firm ground. Friends, I tell you this morning, our text in Isaiah tells us that our lives have been pegged into not just firm ground, but they've been pegged into the rock, the eternal rock, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so his condition was one of feeling forgotten and forsaken, sorrowful and subdued. His cry was to Almighty God that he might indeed come to him. And in answering his cry, this Lord, this God, he not only comforted him, but he was able to sustain him. God wants us to live our lives not just when it's light, but when it's dark. And even though it is dark, and maybe you're living your life in the darkness today, maybe you can't see, I want to encourage you that if you've trusted in the Lord, and if you continue to trust in the Lord forever, then actually he will keep you. He will hold you. He will sustain you. He will secure you, not just for today, not just for this coming week, but he'll keep you and save you and sustain you forever and forever. His condition, his cry, and his comfort. Trust in the Lord forever. And then you too will rejoice, and you too will sing, and you'll sing unto the Lord as long as you live. Let's pray together. Gracious and eternal Father, thank you for helping us understand that David was struggling, and we don't know why he was struggling, but in a way, it encourages us, because there are days that we struggle. There are times that we struggle. And yet we can do what David did. We can cry to you, and you're a God who will always bring comfort. Hear us and help us. May we trust, rejoice, and sing the glories of our God and King. We pray these things in the name of the living Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.